It is time to go around the NFL. Brandon Scott is in for Reginald Atatula. We got John Lopez and Figgy Fig here in the building. And I wanted to point this out off top. The Texans, from the schedule release, they got four primetime games, all right? So gone are the days when we can, as Houston fans, as Texans fans, be complaining about not getting the national spotlight. Mm-hmm. Why ain't nobody checking for us? You got four this year. You had, what, six last year or something like
five,
that?
Five, wasn't it?
Five, yeah. Fewer than last year, but still quite a few. Two Monday night games, a Thursday night, and a Sunday night game. I want to just take our eyes off our own paper for just a second here. Ed, how many nationally televised games, primetime games, do you think the division rival, Jacksonville Jaguars got, despite the fact that Trevor Lawrence was a part of the marketing marketing rollout for this schedule release?
Well, I saw your note, so share with the class.
They got one single damn nationally televised game for a team and for a franchise that was being marketed along with. And it was the curious part of this. Like, why is Trevor Lawrence in your graphic promoting the schedule release, knowing damn well that we are very close to forgetting all about Trevor Lawrence, except for us in the AFC South, because we got to see him twice a year. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Jaguars won to the Texans 4. I don't know if that is, like, there's any indication of, like, how big of a difference there's going to be between the two teams this year, but that definitely tells you the huge difference in how they are viewed by the league.
No, and I think it says a lot about Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
At this point in his career. Because
he was playing a lot last year.
Yeah, and at this point.
And it was bad.
Not to mention the fact that they got him Travis Hunter in the draft.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they're not even putting Trevor Lawrence, Travis Hunter on the screen for you.
Yeah, no, and that says an awful lot about just where he is and where they are in their development. 5 years in?
Year five, by the way.
5 years in?
Year five.
Man. Yeah.
Like, could you have predicted? Remember, it was tank for Trevor and all of that. Could you have imagined, fast forward, from the day he got drafted, or just the moment we knew, okay, when his junior season ended, because we knew he'd be the number one pick after that.
After his freshman year,
you're right. Could you have imagined that fast forward into year five, the start of year five of Trevor Lawrence's career, the NFL would have no interest in putting them on national television on a regular basis?
Right. It's like, pretty incredible.
It's wild how things can turn. So that was something that stood out to me, how year five of the Jaguars and nobody is checking for Trevor Lawrence, even in year one of the Travis Hunter era. So I'm with that. No one is checking for them.
I kind of laughed out loud when I seen the Titans had zero primetime games.
Yeah.
The Browns had zero primetime games. And the New Orleans Saints, I'm glad they didn't give him any primetime games, even before the Derek Carr retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm just happy they ain't put no more Saints on TV.
Yeah, we don't need the Saints on TV. Now, I am interested, though, since you mentioned it, Figgy, with the league not showcasing the Titans. Look, I don't think the Titans are going to be very good. I'm not itching to watch the Titans. Part of me wishes that we didn't have to watch them twice a year, if I'm being quite honest about it. But does it not surprise either one of y'all that the league wouldn't want to showcase their number? Like, so think about it. Mm-hmm. Their number one and number two overall pick, counted, we've just discussed it now, have a total of one primetime game between the two of them. And the number one pick, never mind the fact that draft day, draft night, he didn't get a lot of shine, but he ain't going to get a lot of shine on the national stage either.
I mean, if we're being honest, that is a surprise, because the number one pick is always.
I'm shocked by it.
At least one.
Yeah. Well, and certainly if it's a quarterback, recently now it's usually now a quarterback.
Yeah.
If you got a number one pick as the quarterback, and a consensus that it's not like Cam Ward was like, oh, who's going to be the number one pick?
Right.
Like, everybody knew he was going to be the number one pick. He's a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's going to a team that obviously could use a boost.
Yeah.
That part of it surprised me that they're not in there. I wanted to get your thoughts, too, on this, Lopez. You actually put this in here about the 10 must-see matchups this season, including Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah. I think the key thing here to remember ties in with another point that I brought up yesterday, and I want to bring up with you to see what your thoughts were. I don't think this is ever going to happen, but I think the NFL is doing everything it can to make the Chiefs America's team. It won't happen. It's always going to be the Cowboys. They came along at the perfect time. Enough people hate them as love them, and it's just no matter what, the Cowboys.
They talk about them all the time.
They're just going to be it. But they really want the Chiefs. They're going to Brazil. They're going, you know, all these primetime games. They're playing Christmas. They're playing Thanksgiving. You know, all this stuff. They really want the Chiefs to be that team.
See, I always looked at America's team as kind of two-pronged. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the America's team that is branded as America's team, and then there's the team that's actually America's team because they're either dominant or more compelling or more interesting at the time. Like, to me, this is not much different from the Patriots in their heyday, whereas you might still call the Cowboys America's team, but throughout the 2000s and then that back half, that last stretch that they had in the aughts, it was the Patriots that were America.
Yeah, but I don't think enough people like the Patriots as like the Chiefs.
Ooh, do people like the Chiefs?
Oh, because of, you know, all the various factors. Patrick Mahomes,
I feel like we're
Taylor
starting
Swift.
To get into that that phase of where the Patriots kind of always were with the Chiefs.
I think even this Super Bowl just showing everybody rooting for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Despite the Chiefs. And these are the Eagles.
Yeah, the people normally, like, come on.
Yeah, people really don't care for the Eagles like that either.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like Mahomes is as likable as he was when the Mahomes thing first started. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, people, you know, kind of bring his family in, like his wife and his brother, as other reasons to hate on him. And that, like, that's off the field stuff. But then the success, people just kind of overgeneralize for a second, tend to resent success.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think the more successful you are and the longer that you're successful, that the more resentment that you're going to get. So, like, they are the team that you're going to – that some people are going to hate to love and love to hate.
Yeah, and as far as, like, the games to watch, it all comes into play, right? Because the teams that were did so well yesterday, teams people love to hate. I mean, Eagles at Chiefs, that's got to be on the list, of course, for obvious reasons. Chiefs at Bills, you know, that's going to be, you know, one of the – you're sensing a trend here.
If you're not, it's a lot of Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Eagles. I'm forgetting one team.
Ravens at Bills
is pretty much it.
Sounds like the AFC is a powerhouse. And
Ravens at Chiefs.
You throw in some Commanders and you throw in some
Lions.
And Lions. That was the other one.
Yeah.
But that's basically it. Like, they got five teams that are really like the sweet
spot. I would
say
that Thanksgiving slate, that's a good slate
Good slate. But anyway, so CBS put together this list of, you know, the 10 must watch games that now that the schedule is released. The only three teams that were not Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Ravens, or Eagles, are Bears at Commanders, which I get that.
Yeah.
And the Bengals at the Bills.
Yeah. I think the Commanders might have another game in there,
they
too.
They might,
But it's against one of those other teams that you're
against
talking about.
The Lions.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, it's basically five teams with a couple of sprinkle in the rookie of the year or the offensive rookie of the year and just a little here and there.
So here's the question. This is why I brought up the list. We talk about year five and Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
In year three with C.J. Stroud, shouldn't they have one of the top 10 games that are must-see across the league?
I thought of it in a similar way.
Yeah.
Of not shouldn't they, but because I don't, because I think the answer is no. I think – based off of what they are, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And I think more so, like, I just came to a conclusion. It's a shame that they don't.
It's a shame.
Like, I wish that they did. Mm-hmm. I wish that more people, like, they were a good enough and compelling enough team that more people were checking for them and wanted to actually watch them play football.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got four primetime games. Not now one of them is a must-see game, according to this list.
Yeah.
Now, you know, this is a subjective list, but I got a hard time arguing with it.
Sure.
Like, with any of the games that they mentioned, putting any Texans matchup above it.
Yeah. And that's why it's kind of a, you know, we talk about how this is really kind of a turning point, not turning point, but crucial for the Texans with the offensive line and Nick Cayley and all that. In terms of, like, C.J. Stroud's star status, it's kind of a big year for him.
Yeah.
He needs to get back on top because everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels and even Caleb Williams and, you know, all these other things more so than C.J. Stroud.
I've talked about this a time or two with Ron Hughley from the Drive about how CJ, just with his rookie year alone, and it's not like last year he was bad, he just wasn't as good as his rookie year, but I think from that alone, he's already kind of earned his future, earned his lot in life. Like, nobody here is going to have a hot take of, hey, they're just going to let CJ walk. Now, CJ's going to get paid. He's going to get extended. He's going to be here a long time.
Yeah.
But the shine, talk about losing its luster, the buzz factor.
Yeah.
Like, man, it wasn't just that he was greedy with the podcast circuit and, like, being all over the place after that rookie year.
Yeah.
I think there was a demand for his attention.
There was.
A demand to, like, the next big thing, the next big quarterback. And I think he still has a tremendous opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, I think, obviously hurt that.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, like you say, it's a big turning point of, okay, which direction are you going in? Are you going in the year one direction?
Yeah.
Or are you going backwards like you did in year two?
Yeah.
Definitely a seminal moment. But yeah, going through these games, like that to me is where the Texans need to be trying to get to is, hey, how do our games against the Bills,
yeah,
our game, who they beat last year, to be fair,
mm-hmm,
or our games against the Ravens? Like, nobody wants to watch that because nobody thinks it's going to be any good. Nobody thinks that the Texans are going to do anything.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, the division, I don't think there's much you can do about that. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the division itself, mm-hmm, is probably a letdown and probably really disappointing. But I don't know, man. I would like for the Texans to get in a space where people are talking a little bit more about some of their more marquee matchups.
Yeah.
Nobody, it seems like, is doing
that. I mean, you look at the primetime games by team. Obviously, the Chiefs have the most. You mentioned the three that don't have any, Figgy. But, like, some of these rising stars have just as many or more in terms of quarterbacks as C.J. Stroud and the Texans have. So it is, like, kind of a, not turning point, but, you know, sort of a very important, crucial year for him and his status in the league.
No doubt about it, as we continue around the NFL here on In the Loop. Quote from Matthew Stafford, who, as we found out last night, is going to be the first quarterback that your Houston Texans face in the 2025 season. This is a direct quote from Matthew Stafford. "I've been lucky with receivers, and Davante Adams fits right in." Now, I know we're not in the confessions portion of the program yet, but I am going to give you an early confession here. I had not really given much thought. I knew, obviously, they were going to play the Rams,
mm-hmm,
but I had not given much thought to the Stafford-Davante Adams pairing or connection. Man. Until I saw this schedule and started to think about, like, who's on the teams that they're facing.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought about. When I seen that, I'm like, man.
What is I'm saying? With the schedule, when the schedule came out.
The crazy thing is, I totally disregarded their defense.
Yeah.
Their defense
is good.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, they going to have their hands full. And look, I'm a homer. I ain't going to lie. I was thinking, like, oh, Stingley got him.
Yeah.
You know, Kamari, they going to be good. They all right.
Puka and Devontae.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, oh, it's going to be tough, but I think they got it. But I'm like, man, that defense against that offensive line, I'm like, man, that's a tough game one.
And look, I know the Davante Adams era with the Jets is going to be a forgotten one when history writes itself.
Yeah.
But he made plays against the Texans.
There. Hey, this.
Hopefully they don't try to guard him in the slot with Jalen Petrie or whoever it was. But
this might be a Randy Moss for the when Randy Moss went from the Raiders to the Patriots. Man, it could potentially be something like that.
I mean, it's a weapon.
So
it's a damn good weapon.
The homer in me is hoping that Seth Payne's theory on 32-year-old wide receivers comes to fruition. Because I think, like, Davante Adams isn't, you know, the Hall of Fame Davante Adams that he was in the prime of his career.
Don't think so.
But he's still a damn, like, you don't have to be that.
Yeah.
He's, like, 80% of that is still a damn good receiver.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he's closer to 60.
Yeah.
Like, is this the year, does it work out perfectly for the Texans that the year that Davante Adams truly falls off a cliff, and I'm talking about his performance, obviously.
Yeah.
His performance falls off a cliff will be the year where the Texans are facing his team in week one.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean.
Yeah. Like you said, he ain't in his prime right now, but I don't think he's what DeAndre Hopkins was
totally
last year.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So that's still a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah.
Be honest about that. I'm building
him and Puka. Man,
hey,
I could be thinking too much into
you're
it,
not.
Man.
Because
Stafford a little up there too.
We're gonna give our week by week picks here in a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna do that at noon. So y'all make sure y'all stick around. Will the Texans? Do we think that the Texans will end up winning this game to start the season against the Los Angeles Rams, and then of course throughout the rest of the season, the entire schedule what do we think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. That's coming up at noon. So make sure you stick around for that. But coming up next, that was around the NFL, by the way. Coming up next on In the Loop, the Texans are good at so many things. Why aren't they good at this one thing? We'll talk about that next on In the Loop.